Next speaker is a Liverpool GP and much else as well, and having known Simon for some years. Delighted that he's been able to join us today and talk about his vision and his ideas about primary care and health and well-being. So warm welcome, Simon.
Thank you, Gideon. Thank you very much, everybody. I was delighted to listen to Dr. William Bird speak, but he said practically everything I'm going to. So can I just look at him as a warm-up? I don't know. Maybe I'm a cool-down. So I'm going to talk a little bit about why I'm, as a GP, am thinking about these things that are seems to be bread and butter to you, but a little bit innovative and off the wall for a lot of general practice. So here we are, life expectancy. This is a good thing. It's going up. It's been going up by about 4 hours per day for the last few years, although there is actually a slight blip just in the last couple of years. But it is increasing, so that's a good thing. But it also means that our population is growing older. And with that comes problems. And this is some data from Scotland about the number of long-term conditions people have as they get older. So I'm around 60, so that's where I am on the x-axis. So I've got a fairly high likelihood of having at least one long-term condition. And even as you go younger down the decades, it's still quite likely that people will have long-term conditions. And of course, when you go in the opposite direction, it becomes very likely. And that is putting a huge burden on the health service and its ability to provide care with the model that it uses at the moment. So the other problem from my perspective is, and many of you, I'm sure, is that the number of GPs in this country seems to be insufficient. This was a piece of work the BBC did very recently about the relative amount of GPs around the country, but we know there's a lack all over. And it's not just GPs that are in short supply in the health service. There are many other healthcare professions where the numbers are less than ideal. And then one absolutely key and further point is this issue around the inequalities in health that actually is another twig on the camel's back. I mean, it's a very large one. It's more of a tree trunk that just makes the problems that the health service faces now a wicked problem, a problem that has contradictions and changes and very, very difficult to solve. But I'm not here to talk to you about that. I am from the NHS, and I'm looking for solutions to these problems along with many of my colleagues. And one of the first things I'd say is that we have an NHS, and it's called the National Health Service, but actually it's a National Disease Service. And this is not sustainable. The old model of general practice and hospital medicine doesn't really have a future, and unless we change the way we provide healthcare and deal with healthcare, we are going to keep on running into the problems that we're beginning to recognise quite well at the moment. So, William spoke about the impact of social isolation. There's a good study here from 2012, and there's plenty of other pieces of research that show that actually social isolation, as well as heart disease, as well as cancer, actually kills people. And then there's this wonderful thing that we've heard a little bit about today, and we'll hear lots more. And this is actually from the NHS website. It is their version of Fitterix. They call it exercise. And there's no doubt, and the evidence is out there, that it makes a difference. I was at a cancer meeting recently, and actually, if you want to avoid recurrence of your breast cancer, one of the best things you can do is exercise. It reduces the risk by about 30%. So there's plenty of things to do to benefit from doing things like exercise, like addressing social isolation, to improve healthcare, which is a different model of healthcare than we've had previously. So how are we going to do this? And that's what I've been asked to reflect to you, to talk to you about a vision that we have in my practice with colleagues who I've worked on. And one of our fundamental approaches is the idea of using the five ways to well-being. So in our practice, we started with this quite a few years ago, and we were delighted to receive a grant from the Primary Care Trust, as it was then, to run an arts group for our patients. And I'm delighted that the sound agents are actually sitting here at the front. This was unplanned, but they did a wonderful job recruiting our patients and running an arts project for about 18 months on one subject, and then doing something different a little bit later. And if anybody's interested, it's worth going on YouTube and seeing some of the videos with our patients discussing various aspects of their health and their involvement and engagement in health. So some of you will recognize those pillars. Many of you will recognize the places. If I tell you, it's Bromley by Bow. And one of the things that we did to further develop our understanding of different ways of working was to take a trip with some of our patients, some of my colleagues at the practice, down to Bromley by Bow to see how they do things and what their methodology is. And one of the things that they said to us subsequently was, don't try and copy what we do, but do try and use it as inspiration. And that's how we've looked at what we want to be doing. So one of the things that we've done is make connections with the local organisations, the local services, third sector organisations, community groups within the area. And I'm part of Friends of Everton Park. It's an absolutely fabulous park. It's very different from the other parks in Liverpool in that it's very much on a slope, so it's particularly good if you want to exercise, if you want to go running and really get your heart rate and your breathing up. And it's a very beautiful park, and if you ever have guests visiting, or if you are yourselves are visiting Liverpool, go to Everton Park and get the fabulous view over the city. It's an eye-opener. So taking a stage further, we've now employed a well-being coordinator, or a link worker has been referred to today in the discussions, who has been coming to our practice now for 2 years. She's part of the practice. Her office is the waiting room, so she spends her time just talking to people in the waiting room, talking to them about what sort of things that they might be interested in doing, taking the example of Bob that William mentioned. Let's go to the patients and ask them what they're interested in, what they'd be willing to do, and what are their aspirations. And she's been doing a fantastic job. Very limited funding at the moment. The practice pays for it ourselves. We're looking to get funding from NHS England. That's not coming yet, but hopefully won't be long. And Julie will refer people to the various activities that we're aware of. We've done a scoping exercise in Everton to see what there is out there. And actually, Julie identified 48 different organisations just in the Everton area of organisations that provide some form of wellbeing activity. So there's something for everybody. So I must have missed my slide sequence, but because that's the Bromley by Bow picture. I can just about make it out in the sunshine. And this, if you can see it, is the is their website, Bromley by Bow's website, that identifies the various activities that they do. And again, that's very inspiring that they're doing those sort of things. And we'd certainly hope that we could emulate some of that and also do some other things. I can tell you that their park is not a patch on Everton. And the other driver that's going on, and this has only come about perhaps in the last 18 months, is the general practice. With the problems that general practice has been facing, there has been a great deal of work to find ways of solving our problems at some 10 high impact actions, they're called. And number 8 is social prescribing. And it's been very heartening as a GP to see that there is that national agenda for making those offerings to patients, which will make a difference. So this, I guess, is my most important slide in terms of our vision, because it sets out the principles that we want to espouse in order to make a health and well-being hub in Everton a success. And it differs considerably from what is the current model of care, which is very much a medical model. I'm currently based in a modern general practice building, which has community services in it. It has 2 general practices in it. It has phlebotomy blood-taking facilities. But it's a very old-fashioned, dare I say it, approach to healthcare. And if we're going to make changes, then we need to do things differently. So first of all, what I'm talking about is both a building, but also a concept. And the concept actually extends beyond the building. So first of all, a social enterprise. I think that can embed something within the community. That's the point of doing it that way. A community asset. So it has to be part of the community in order for it to function. And that means it needs to make links with other organisations in the community. The financial model is a realistic model in that general practice is on the whole a survivable business. It's got the long-term future and it will bring in a revenue that hopefully can sustain a building. And that sustained building can hopefully provide additional function for the community. And we do that through partnership working with both health services and social care, but also the third sector. So typically, Merseycare provides its mental health services on a hub and spoke model. So we've had those discussions with Merseycare about if we were to build, would they be interested in coming in? Yes, they are. They see that as the right way forwards. Similarly, with social care, it's now fairly standard practice in some GP practices that the local social worker, the neighbourhood social workers, are based in general practice. And that improves the communication and dealing with some of the issues that we as general practitioners and social workers need to talk to each other about. We also want to see wellbeing activities and making that work sometimes by giving organisation a base. So if the financial model works by can fund the building, then there may be spaces that can be perhaps low rents that might be available for third sector organisations to either base themselves in the building or to offer activities within the building or to hold meetings within the building, however that might work. And we can integrate with local assets like Everton Park, like the Hargreaves NSPCC Centre, the local schools, the sports centre, other community facilities. And we've held stakeholder engagement meetings and we've got a really positive response from people about this idea. They seem very enthusiastic. And the final part of it is that we have to deliver well-being, which is different to delivering the absence of disease or treating disease. So I'm grateful to the Cass Foundation and Richard Cass for doing some sort of concept diagrams that helped us think through what the offering might look like. So the building I work in actually is slightly similar to what we've thought about in the Cass Foundation as to what it might look like, but it's just how you use it. So there are great big reception areas, waiting areas in the modern GP buildings, but they're used for people to sit in and wait for the doctor, which it seems a very poor use of that function, and it wouldn't take a great deal of change to make those spaces much more productive in terms of offering a community resource. I think I'll stop at that point. Thank you.